the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. A lot of headlines on the fact that Cheryl Swoops of the WBNA, the famous NBA, the famous basketball player for the Houston Comets, came out of the closet, declared herself to be a lesbian, and that's a big story. The big issue for us today is not just homosexuality and what this means for the culture, but it's what this means for families, for parents, because I've had a lot of questions that have been emailed in. We had some calls that came in with folks saying, how should I explain this to my children? You know, what does this mean about sports heroes and how we are to figure this out? How do we deal with this with young children? Because this is big headline news. And how do we look at heroism in the culture? How do we look at role models and all the rest and figure that out when it comes to matters of character and sexual behavior? You know, some people in this country don't think it's a big issue. A lot of others do. That's what we're going to talk about today on the Albert Mohler Program. First, a review of issues in the news. Big stories in the Washington Post and the New York Times about a new test that will detect Down syndrome earlier in a pregnancy. According to the Washington Post, a first trimester screening test can now reliably identify fetuses likely to be born with Down syndrome, providing expectant women with that information much earlier in a pregnancy than current testing allows. This is a test that looks for chromosomal abnormalities and also measures the thickness in the back of a baby's neck, a fetus's neck. And what we're looking at here is another reminder of how the culture of death creeps along, sometimes aided and abetted by this kind of technology. And the Washington Post and the New York Times are absolutely tied in to the worldview and ethical issues here related to human dignity. For instance, the last paragraph of the Washington Post story says this, and this is quoting a doctor, most women are probably going to make the same decision now as before. If she decides to terminate the pregnancy, this just makes it safer and maximizes her privacy and confidentiality. Now, what's going on here is what we've been talking about on this program for some time. We had a special program just a couple of weeks ago on the fact that there are very few babies now born with Down syndrome. Because the reality is that with testing that shows that a baby has Down syndrome, an awful lot of mothers are terminating the pregnancy. An awful lot of parents are saying, we don't want this child. And you'll remember that we had on a father and a brother of persons with Down syndrome talking about the blessings that have come to them. We remind ourselves that the dignity and sanctity of human life does not depend upon chromosomal abnormalities or the absence or the presence thereof. A child with Down syndrome is made in the image of God. A fetus carrying Down syndrome deserves to come to life. What are we turning into as a people who say, I want to accept a baby with that abnormality. I want a baby with this kind of superiority. I demand a baby with health. I want a baby with high intelligence. I want one with a lot of athletic ability. I want one with blue eyes, with blonde hair. No one should minimize the challenge that will come into some families' lives through a baby born with Down syndrome. But we had better not minimize the threat to human dignity when we decide we're going to define what an acceptable level of chromosomal health is, what an acceptable genetic profile would be. Again, from the Washington Post, we read, women who would opt to terminate a pregnancy based on the results would be able to do so much earlier when, this doctor said, abortion is less risky and less traumatic. Well, less risky for whom? Again, you just look at this, how this whole equation is framed. It tells you everything. There is no recognition here of a right to life of this baby. There is no even, I think, moral gravity given to consideration that this represents the termination of a life. This new test is going to be made available widespread to expectant mothers. And, of course, what this is likely to mean is that there will be even fewer babies born with Down syndrome. You remember when I began the radio program about this a couple of weeks ago, I asked the question. I posed it this way. There are now very few babies born with Down syndrome. Is that good news or bad news? It sounds like good news. If it meant that some kind of genetic therapy had brought this about, it's not a genetic therapy. It's abortion. The key part of that formula is they're not being born. This early test is likely to make that all the more so. We've been talking about the violence in France, and so are others, including the Prime Minister of Sweden, who opened his mouth and inserted his foot. Göran Persson, the Swedish Prime Minister, said this about the French government, condemning its tactics to bring the violence to an end. He said, quote, "They have chosen a confrontational route, and it's hard to see how it will become a dialogue." Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is stupidity and there is stupidity. This is the deeper level of stupidity and the arrogance. Now, frankly, it's hard for me sometimes to summon up sympathy for the French, but the Swedish Prime Minister has thrown me into it. Here I am, because this is an even more insane approach. What the French are now facing is widespread lawlessness, rioting, car burnings, arson, violence in the streets, a rampage that has gone on for most of the last 2 weeks, and the Swedish Prime Minister says now that France is actually doing something about it, that their, quote, confrontational tactics are likely to preclude any opportunity for dialogue. How do you dialogue with someone who's throwing a Molotov cocktail at you? Do you invite them into Starbucks for a little conversation while they're getting ready to blow the place up? This is insanity. But that's what the Swedish Prime Minister said, and he said more. He reserved his strongest criticism, according to this report from the Swedish press, for France's Interior Minister, Nicolas Sarkozy. And you'll remember that that Minister Sarkozy referred to the rioters as rabble. He says, quote this, the Swedish Prime Minister, he says, "I'm surprised by the choice of words at the start and as things went on. There is an implacability in the attitude towards the situation, and I don't think it will lead to dialogue." I don't want dialogue with people who are trying to blow the place up. This is the kind of insanity that explains why Europe has had such an awful experience in the 20th century. If European nations took a decent responsibility for their own self-defense, if they responded to moral evil in a way that was coherent and constant and credible, an awful lot of the misery of the 20th century would have been avoided. The Prime Minister went on to say, quote, "It's clear that if you resort to emergency legislation, then it's naturally very dramatic, the like of which I haven't seen in Europe in the last 30 to 40 years. It feels like a very hard and confrontational approach." Well, I'd like to know exactly what they would do in Sweden. Meanwhile, in Jordan, there is outrage after Al-Qaeda in Iraq has taken responsibility for the bombings that have taken the lives of at least 57 people in Amman, Jordan, the Jordanian capital, by blowing up Western hotels where Americans were likely to have congregated. This has led to violence on the streets and protests on the streets of Amman, Jordan, but it's not against the West. This is very important for us to note. The protesters are not protesting against the United States of America, but against Al-Qaeda, and in particular, the Iraqi Al-Qaeda leader, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. That's good news. In Jordan's capital, there are young people on the streets chanting, "Burn in hell, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi," a reference to the Jordanian militant who leads Al-Qaeda and Iraq. And that's good news. Out of this bad news, I'm at least very thankful that the street in Jordan is not turning on the United States, but rather on the ones who bombed. And that kind of moral clarity is exactly what we need, and we ought to recognize it when we see it. There's a big question out there now about who should control the Internet, and here's big news. The United Nations wants in on it. There are a lot of nations that want to get their hands on control of the Internet. Right now, the United States of America, through the U.S. Department of Commerce, basically controls the Internet in terms of its accessibility through an organization known as the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. That's ICANN. Ladies and gentlemen, the real agenda behind the UN wanting to get in control of this is so that nations that want to cut off access can do so. This is a threat to the free flow of information. It is a threat to the spread of ideas. It is a threat to free speech. It is a threat, frankly, that we cannot accept. And so here's one American who's hoping that the United States of America will hold on to what it created through the U.S. Department of Defense with the Internet. And we'll keep that free flow of information going. Yes, there's a lot of awful stuff on the Internet, and we need to protect our children and ourselves from it. But just look at how the Internet has changed the political situation around the world. There are dictators who tremble because they know that their own people have access through the Internet to news they would otherwise suppress. Just imagine how the Cold War would have been different if there had been access through the Internet. The last thing we need to do is give it over to the United Nations, which does such insane things as elect Libya as chairman of the Human Rights Commission. No organization that elects Libya as head of its Human Rights Commission should get within miles of control of the Internet. Well, we know that kids love heroes. And it's just a fact of American culture that a lot of these heroes and heroines are sports figures. All too often, they disappoint. In the case of Cheryl Swoopes, the disappointment comes with her declaration that she's coming out of the closet as a lesbian. There are an awful lot of young women who have looked to Ms. Swoopes as a role model. After all, she is a four-time WNBA champ, three-time most valuable player. She, in many ways, defines women's professional basketball. But this defines a problem for a lot of Christian parents. Our phone number is 877-893-8255. We want you to join the conversation, and we'll be right back. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Well, I made headlines all over the country. I'm looking at the cover story of The Advocate. That's the main homosexual news magazine in America. On the cover, a superstar comes out. WNBA Most Valuable Player Cheryl Swoopes unveils her life as a gay woman and a mom. Now, let me just tell you right up front, whenever we get in the territory of sports, I'm out of my league, quite literally, pun intended. I don't know a whole lot about the NBA, much less the WNBA. But I do know that the name of Cheryl Swoopes is really big, and I know that many of you are concerned about it because I've been receiving emails by the dozens from people who have been writing in to say, how do I explain this to my kids? What do we think about this? Would you please talk about this? Well, I want all of us to talk about this because this is not something that's completely new. There is something, at least claimed to be unprecedented in the case of Cheryl Swoopes. She is the only major team player in professional athletics ever to come out of the closet, declare herself to be homosexual. Martina Navratilova did so during her tennis career, but that's not a team sport, at least not usually. And what makes this in particular of interest is that Cheryl Swoopes is not just another NBA player. WNBA. She is, again, a three-time Most Valuable Player, the only player in the league ever to win that distinction three times. She is a four-time champ. As she has played small forward on the Houston Comets. And she is a very attractive figure in the field of sports to a lot of young women who have seen her as a role model. And as she's been playing, her personal life has, of course, become of interest. She has been divorced. She was divorced from her husband in 1999. She has an eight-year-old son. But now she has come out of the closet, and she's not only come out of the closet, she's making a big issue out of it. She's going to be a spokesperson for Olivia Cruise Lines, which is a cruise line that that caters especially to lesbians. She's still with her partner, who is the former Comets coach, Elisa Scott, and she's still in the headlines. And the big deal is that she says in most of these interviews that nothing will change. She is the first WNBA player to have a shoe named for her by Nike. And she says that her relationship with Nike, she's confident, will go forward. Explaining why she came out of the closet, she said this in this interview with The Advocate, quote, I don't want to say I've been living a lie, but for the last 7-8 years, I haven't been able to be comfortable in my own skin around my own friends and family. She's also been explaining this, speaking of why she came out of the closet, why she declared herself to be a lesbian. She says this, well, you know, being gay, being a lesbian, it's not accepted in the world, unfortunately, because of who I am and playing in the WBNA. This is Cheryl Swoopes, and what are people going to think? That's what I was worried about for so long. For at least 9 years now, I'm just at the point in my life right now where I'm tired of hiding who I am. I'm tired of hiding my true feelings. I'm tired of having to pretend to be somebody I'm not. I want people to accept me for who I am. I want people to know that I'm still the same person. I'm still a great basketball player and a great person. I'm so excited about it. I want to educate people about what Olivia, that's the cruise line, stands for, what it means to be in love with another woman or another man or whatever. I can't make people accept that, but hopefully I can make them understand that it's okay. Now, we're about the task of trying to bring clarity out of confusion, but I'll admit trying to clarify what I just read is a taxing challenge. Number one, how do you figure this out? She says, I can't make people accept that, but hopefully I can make them understand that it's okay. What's the difference between accepting it and believing that it's okay? And then furthermore, she really presses the point. Again, she hasn't just come out of the closet. She hasn't just declared herself to be a lesbian. She is now becoming a spokesperson for a lesbian cruise line, and she's pressing the point. Again, hear her words. She says, I want people to know that I'm still the same person. I'm still a great basketball player and a great person. I'm so excited about it. She says, I want to know what it means to be in love. I want people to know what it means to be in love with another woman or another man or whatever. You know, that whatever is really big, isn't it? I mean, you could drive anything through the space created by that word whatever. And there are a lot of parents right now who are trying to figure out, what do I tell my kids? How do I handle this? How do I explain to my daughter, who has seen Cheryl Swoops as something of a model, how do I explain what this means, that she has declared herself to be a lesbian, that she's come out of the closet, that she's becoming a spokesperson not only for a lesbian cruise line, but for the lesbian ideal. And she is, after all, a very, very dominating athlete in her field. She's very accomplished. My daughter's wearing shoes with her name. What do you do with this? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let me suggest that at the very least, this is another reminder to us that we had better be very, very careful and attentive to who now serves as the heroes and heroines for our children. Because this whole process of identifying with a cultural icon or a cultural hero is very dangerous. Because in this culture, driven by consumerism and by sexuality and by all kinds of very base instincts, an awful lot of the people who have the most attention and receive the most adulation seem to have major character problems. I mean, just consider what's been going on a professional football team where a player has been kicked off for abusive behavior. Just look at some of the atrocities that have taken place in the world of professional and collegiate athletics. You know, there are a lot of college athletes who also have demonstrated a profound lack of character. It just so happens that athletic prowess and character do not always correlate. And they sometimes do. I mean, you can also point to some athletes who have really demonstrated character, but all too often it's just about the athletic ability. And the athletic ability comes with incredible self-promotion. And with the self-promotion comes this kind of media attention. And with the media attention comes the way to also have to explain to our kids what this means. Do you admire someone who comes out of the closet and declares herself to be a lesbian and becomes a lesbian spokesperson? Do you explain this to your daughter and say, well, or your son for that matter, and say, look, we can admire their athletic ability, but we simply have to say we can't accept their lifestyle? Or do you just ignore the question altogether? I don't think ignoring it's going to work. Let's go to Lynn calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Lynn, it's your turn.
Hi. I just wanted to say I would explain it to my child that it is not an acceptable lifestyle, but we can still praise that person's God-given ability, but we would pray that they would see their sin and then turn from it.
Yeah, well, that part is certainly important, Lynn, and I appreciate the fact that we want persons to come to terms with their sin, to repent of that sin, and to turn to Christ. That's the very essence of the Christian gospel. So, you know, you're making a point here that we should distinguish. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as I understand what you're saying, Lynn, you're saying we should distinguish between admiring a person for sheer athletic ability and admiring them for their lifestyle or character. Is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I'm not arguing with you against that. I'm asking this question honestly. Are there limits to drawing that distinction? I mean, do we have much confidence that children are going to be able to understand that distinction?
Well, I think we have to explain it. I definitely don't think that we can ignore it, but I think that we have to explain that God loves everybody regardless of their sin, but that we can't accept what they're doing, although we can still see the gift that God has given them and still pray for that person.
Yeah, well, Lynn, I think I can draw a parallel in a completely different field. Elton John is one of the world's most famous homosexual men. And whether you like his music or not, you have to admit he has one amazing musical talent, both as a composer and as a performer and as a player of the piano and as a singer. I mean, he has an amazing talent. And there are very few kids who, through whether the Disney movies or something else, don't know at least something about Elton John's music. But we need to help our children learn discernment between incredible ability and the question of character and behavior. The phone number 877-893-8255. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back. The field of women's athletics has recently been rocked when Cheryl Swoopes of the Houston Comets came out of the closet, a very famous WNBA player, and that's happened in other fields as well. Whether it's music or Hollywood or entertainment, or for that matter, even in politics, so some of this is happening. And you know, the fact is, we've got to learn how to discern as we think about these issues, and even of equal or greater importance is that we have to help our children to learn the proper kind of discernment. You know, this is a new problem, because the coming out of the closet part, that's a new phenomenon in America with the growing cultural acceptance of homosexuality. We talk a lot about that on this program. And, of course, now with the rise of so many athletes, both collegiate and professional, as role models accepted by young people, this is just going to get more and more complicated. I tried to make the argument coming out of the last segment that we need to look at a figure like Elton John and realize that it would be insanity to deny the talent that the man has in terms of music, whether you like his music or not. There's an incredible amount of talent there. But it would be equally wrong, and far, I would say even far more tragically wrong, to deny the challenge that his homosexuality poses. It's a public thing. I mean, we're not talking about rumors behind Elton John's back. We're not talking about rumors behind Cheryl Swoopes' back. She's now coming out as a spokesperson. She's going to be doing commercials for Olivia Cruise Lines, a lesbian cruise line system, and she's also talking about how much she wants her example now to help people to know that loving another woman is just fine, just okay, loving whatever, she says. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Joe calling from Asheville, North Carolina, listening on WFJW. Joe, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Mohler.
Go right ahead, Joe. What do you think of all this?
Well, I just want to let you know I've had the privilege of coaching girls and women's basketball at a number of different levels for the last 25 years. And I guess I was actually there when Cheryl Swoopes dropped 47 points in the national championship game down in New Orleans. She's a great player. I recall vividly right after her, her popularity began to increase. I think she appeared actually in Sports Spectrum magazine as a Christian and had a Christian testimony of some kind. And I can't tell you this how disappointed and how tragic it is that this has happened over the last few years. I don't know her personally, but I have, in the capacity of coaching girls and women, I have seen a number of times where girls, very naively or whatever, were lured into the lesbian lifestyle through a number of different ways, most of which is preying upon the emotional attachment aspect that a lot of women have, and it's just a real tragedy.
Yeah, I agree that it's tragic, Joe. It's a tragedy for Cheryl Swoopes, first of all. You know, here's the bottom line. This is an awful thing in her life. You know, it's being celebrated as her authentic and autonomous lifestyle choice. But the Word of God declares it to be a grave sin with consequences that will be rebounding all over her life. Now, in an interview published at ESPN.com and in a news story, she says this: I'm a Christian, and my biggest dilemma is when people start throwing the whole religion thing. You're going to hell for this or that. I think that's the hardest thing for my mom to deal with, too. She's into the Bible and church, and I'm concerned about how she's going to deal with her church friends. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Well, as troubling as that may be to Ms. Swoopes, the bigger issue is what would God say, and what is God going to say on that day of judgment? I realize for a lot of people in the culture, this is nothing of their concern, and they'd be even outraged that we would be concerned about it. But as a Christian minister and theologian, I have to be first and foremost concerned about what this means for Cheryl Swoopes. And the Bible is very clear about that. But I'm also concerned for what this means for those who would see her as a heroine, as a role model. and how confusion is likely to be experienced by a lot of kids and others trying to figure this out. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Cheryl Swoop said this, I didn't sit down and say, okay, this is the last day I'm going to be in the closet. It just sort of happened. She spoke of her partner. She said, Elisa and I hooked a cruise with Olivia Cruise Lines, a company that caters to lesbians. We wanted some time away around other people like us, somewhere where we could be comfortable and not have to hide. She says this also, my biggest concern is that people are going to look at my homosexuality and say to little girls, whether they're white, black, Hispanic, that I can't be their role model anymore. That appears to be a concern on the part of Cheryl Swoops. She spoke of that very openly. She said, I don't want that to happen. Being gay has nothing to do with the 3 gold medals or the 3 MVPs or the 4 championships I've won. I'm still the same person. I'm still Cheryl. What do you think about this? What would you say to your own daughter, your own children? 877-893-8255 is the number. And coast to coast, you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about Cheryl Swoops. She's come out of the closet, declared herself to be a lesbian, becoming a spokesperson for a lesbian cruise line, and trying to make her point. And by the way, the NBA has the WNBA has been worried about this for some time. Also, according to The Advocate, which is a homosexual magazine I'm reading here, quote, while not overtly homophobic, the league prefers to focus on obviously straight players, even going so far as to put out a press release a few years ago listing all those who were married or engaged. That's because of all the rumors swirling around about so many of the players and lesbians in professional sports and all the rest. You know, this just raises the whole issue about cultural icons, about those persons who become role models, heroes and heroines out there in the culture for young people and what this means. And I'm trying to draw a distinction because I think we can respond to this in some unhealthy and unchristian ways. We can respond by saying ugly things about Cheryl Swoops. We can't say that. We can't speak in a derogatory manner about her. We have to speak, however, about her character and about her decisions and about her choices and about her sin. But we better be careful also not just to focus on the sin of homosexuality. Let me say that the fact that Donald Trump is a role model for many in this culture is a devastating indication of the fact that we accept and celebrate all the wrong things in terms of his just incredible materialism on the one hand, and then his family situation, his marriages, his love life, which is also a matter of public record, on the other hand. And I think you can look across entire fields, whether it's in Hollywood with movie stars or whether it's in athletics or, yes, all too often, even in politics and in commerce. In big business, we have many of the same things. The role models are just very faulty. All of us do have feet of clay. We're the people who know that we're all sinners. But when it comes to character, we do have to help our children, as well as ourselves, develop discernment about how to decide whom we would emulate and who we will celebrate. Because at some point, making this the distinction, at least in our own minds, in terms of public adulation between the person and the lifestyle, I think we need to admit is very difficult. Let's go to Kevin calling from Lakeland, Florida, listening on WTBN. Kevin, your turn.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Glad to hear from you.
I've been listening, and my children are too young to really engage in this sort of a discussion. But if they were old enough, I would consider it an excellent opportunity to sit them down and explain to them how the difference between the worldly perspective and what they deem is worthy and to uplift and exemplify as far as character and values, and how it vacillates over and over, and compare that to Scripture and how God's Word is solid and remains unchanging. And I would with joy tell them that that's one of the benefits of trusting Scripture, that it doesn't change with the times. It doesn't throw any surprises at you, that what God expects of you and what God calls us to do and lays out in Scripture is there and solid, and it's going to be there from when they're a little child to when they're full grown. And that's one of the benefits of serving the Lord that has given us His Word. Number two, I would say that it just simply reveals kind of what you just said, that none of us are perfect, that sin isn't constrained to non-believers, that we all have to be careful. By the same time, we need to be salt and light, and we need to be able to examine someone's character or something that the world lifts up and explain where it's wrong in light of Scripture and know that we have all sinned. I would explain to my children that regardless of where society puts somebody. We're all sinners, and we all need to be forgiven of sin.
Kevin, thanks so much for your call. Sorry to interrupt you. We're going to try to get some other callers. Let me just tell you, you have been caught in the act of practicing Christianity. I mean, what you just displayed was a wonderful explanation of how a Christian parent should do this. And, you know, I was headed towards the summary of where I wanted to go, and you kind of did it beautifully, Kevin. I really appreciate that call. Both of the points you made, just absolutely on target and very helpful. Let's go to Chris calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Chris, go at it.
How you doing? I called in. I think, you know, me and my wife struggle with this a lot of times. There's so many movies of actors and out there, you know, Tom Cruise, when that comes to mind, you know, practices Scientology. I think as Christians, we've got to stop rewarding these. We don't go see Tom's movies and a lot of other actors and singers. You know, we don't buy their CDs. We don't go see their movies. We just stop rewarding them for their worldly, you know, values that are not Christian-like.
Another good point, Chris. I appreciate that. You know, I try also to help people to think through issues with how to engage the media and popular culture. For instance, I've used the example of Alec Baldwin. I can't imagine anyone for whom I have less respect in terms of worldview and political outlook and all the rest than Alec Baldwin. At one point, he promised that if George W. Bush was elected in, I think it was the year 2000, he was going to move out of the country, which he didn't even fulfill. But nonetheless, you know, you look at someone like Alec Baldwin, and I have to say, but yeah, I really enjoy watching him play Jack, the figure in The Hunt for Red October. And, you know, it's just there is acting ability that you have to separate. But I certainly would not want my son to see Alec Baldwin as a role model. All right, let's go to Alex, calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. Alex, your turn.
Thank you. You know, this role model, I tell you what's more offensive to me than anything about lesbianism is people who claim a divine anointing to speak the truth for God and collect money doing it. We've got people like Pat Robertson and Benny Hinn and Hank Hanegraaff making all this dough, and they're talking, gimme, 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 I've got the truth. And yet they're saying different things. And as far as this, the lesbian, you know, in the Bible it says that homosexuals shall surely be put to death, and you expressed disdain at Lawrence versus Texas being overthrown. Do you think this woman should be criminalized? Do you think homosexuals should be put in jail for their acts? Do you think they should be executed, because that is biblical?
Well, that is an Old Testament law, no doubt about it, addressed to the theocracy of Israel, but neither I nor any other responsible Christian leader I know who does take sin seriously would call for the execution of homosexuals. And you knew that when you called. You know, but I wanted to let you make your point. This isn't about the criminalization of Cheryl Swoops. She's in no danger of any criminal charge. This is about the celebration of Cheryl Swoops and how we should evaluate that as Christians. And, you know, without any apology, this show is about applying Christian truth as revealed in God's Word. We take a very high view of the authority of God's Word as the inerrant and infallible Word of God and seek to apply that to the questions of our contemporary culture. So no apologies for the fact this comes from a biblical Christian worldview. But that's only that's only where the conversation has to focus. We also have to apply these issues in terms of what gets thrown at us. Cheryl Swoops decided to make this the issue. Once she made that decision, it's our responsibility, given her public profile, to try to figure this out in terms of how we should think about it, how Christians should approach and engage this issue, and how we should talk about it with our kids. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. I'm sorry we couldn't take every caller. We've got all the lines lit up, and we're just about out of time going into our final segment here. Thanks for your calls. I really appreciate so much of what was said on this program. This was something worth talking about, and this issue will arise again and again. I'm Albert Mohler. Well, folks, you got to be careful who your friends are. My great friend C.J. Mahaney has written a wonderful new book that is entitled Humility, True Greatness. And I've written about it at my commentary published today at albertmohler.com. It's a book you really need to read, because C.J. is the right man writing the right book at the right time. And I really want to encourage you to see that book. He has a wonderful Christian biblical understanding of humility and why it matters. However, I have one bone to pick with my friend. He has the capacity to say the most amazingly important things. Just consider what we've been talking about in this program. He says, nowhere is the word great mentioned more often in our culture than in the context of professional sports. If you watch any game this weekend and listen to the announcer's commentary, then like a mantra, you'll probably hear the word great repeated throughout. Great, great, great. Yet it may well be that nowhere in our culture is the absence of true greatness more evident than in professional sports. So be careful about cultivating an excessive love for professional or collegiate athletics in your child. Great statement. But then he has to introduce that by saying this. He says, take athletics, for example. You should know that I love all things athletic. I myself have been active in strenuous athletics all my life, so it's not like I'm some uncoordinated geek who's now seizing an opportunity to display his inner resentment towards people who are athletically superior. That's not what this is about. End quote. Well, on behalf of uncoordinated geeks all over the world, I take offense to that kind of athletic condescension and braggadocio. How's that for a display of inner resentment towards people who are athletically superior? Nudes, that is, nerds rule, CJ. That's what this is about. Yes, nerds rule. Well, CJ responded wonderfully at the website of Girl Talk, which is written by his wife and daughters, a blog published on the internet that says this. He says, I'm so grateful that nerds do indeed rule. I'm so appreciative that men like Dr. Moeller are leading the church and I'm following him. I'm one of his biggest fans, actually. Most of my smart friends are nerds, and though I have deepest respect for them, I've seen them throw a ball, and it's not a pretty sight. So I encourage my scholarly friends to study away and leave the athletics to me. Well, CJ, that's safe. In fact, the production staff here in the studio has been mouthing to me through the entire program, WNBA, not WBNA. I evidently had banking on my mind. Folks, this is a reminder that God gives us in this life, in the Christian pilgrimage, some of the most precious friends. He puts together some of the most unlikely people, and I consider C.J. Mahaney to be one of the dearest friends in this life. And you need to see his new book, Humility, True Greatness. And I want you to read the article I wrote about it that really gets to the heart of the issue, found at albertmoeller.com. That's Albert, M-O-H-L-E-R.com. Well, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about this church in San Francisco and, frankly, the charge made by the IRS that it has a political pulpit. This is a church on the left, and we'll talk about it to get it right. I'm Albert Moeller.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.